Good morning. Today we continue the series on the fourth servant song recorded by the prophet Isaiah in the biblical book that bears his name. The fourth servant song has as its subject the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied concerning Jesus' death about 700 years before the crucifixion took place. Specifically, the fourth servant song is found in Isaiah 52 verse 13 to Isaiah 53 verse 12. Today we will look at Isaiah 53 verse 8, which reads, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." Verse 8 is much disputed in Isaiah 53. Some scholars believe the passage refers to the resurrection of Jesus. Others believe the passage refers to the humiliation of the Lord Jesus. Among those who believe the passage is referring to the resurrection are the Puritan scholar Matthew Henry, the Reformation giant John Calvin. I take no pleasure in disagreeing with these two great church history luminaries. In my research, I have no compelling reason to believe the verse is about the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Jesus does not fit into the natural flow of the passage. Furthermore, verse 9 talks about the Lord's death and burial. So why would verse 8 be about the Lord's resurrection? Verse 8, I respectfully submit that verse is about the humiliation of Christ. Acts 8 records the meeting of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip the evangelist. It was Isaiah 53 verse 8 that aroused the interest of this Ethiopian official. Acts 8:33 renders Isaiah 53 verse 8 this way: "In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Thus, Isaiah 53 verse 8 is a clear reference to the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as is evidenced in Acts 8 verse 33. The first line of Isaiah 53 verse 8 is better translated by "oppression and judgment he was taken away." This first line of verse 8 is stressing that the Lord Jesus Christ was sentenced to death in a trial that bore no resemblance to justice. The Lord met his death as a result of the oppression of the religious leaders who, with the help of the Roman soldiers, inflicted violence on Jesus. The human systems that worked to secure the Lord's death were unjust, and indeed they were a mockery of justice. Jesus was hatefully treated. The second line of verse 8 says, "And who will declare his generation?" This brings to mind that no one stood up for Jesus when he was put on trial in the kangaroo court convened by the Jewish religious leaders. Nor did anyone stand up for Jesus when he was examined by Herod and Pilate. Where were the lepers that Jesus had healed in Luke 17? Where were the blind men that Jesus gave sight to in Matthew 9? Where were the deaf that Jesus gave hearing in Mark 7? Where were the 5,000 men that were fed by Jesus in John 6? Where was the man from the Gadarenes for whom Jesus had expelled his many demons in Mark 5? Where were Jesus' disciples who spent 3 years with him? Isaiah 53 verse 8 made it clear that nobody would stand up for Jesus. Nobody would testify on Jesus' behalf. Jesus, as it were, did dep on him own. He was indeed despised and rejected by men. He was indeed a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Jesus was hatefully treated, and no one stood up for Jesus. The third line of verse 8 tells us, too, that Jesus was cut off from the land of the living. This is a reference to extreme cruelty meted out to Jesus. Death on a cross was, and perhaps still is, the most cruel form of execution ever devised in human history. On the cross, the Lord Jesus was put to a slow, painful, humiliating death. He was nailed naked to the cross. His hands and feet were pierced with nails. His body was stretched till every nerve, every muscle screamed with pain and anguish. There was no relief, only suffering. For 6 hours the Lord Jesus suffered. Jesus was abused and humiliated. In Psalm 22, verses 14 and 15, the Lord Jesus spoke about his crucifixion, which was yet a future event, but he spoke about it as though it were a past event. It reads, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death." But it was not mere death that Jesus endured. He endured also insult to injury. Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8 continues, "All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" The fourth line of verse 8 unveils God's sovereignty in the midst of Christ's sufferings. God had a special purpose in the sufferings of his Son. Isaiah 53:8 says, "For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." God the Father, in his providence, so worked it out that what the chief priests, the Jewish religious leaders, Herod and Pilate and the unruly mob intended for evil, God allowed it to happen for good. God used the hate in the hearts of the chief priests and the religious leaders, the unruly mob, and the moral weakness of Herod and Pilate to fulfill his divine plan and purposes. God used Jesus' death on the cross to satisfy divine justice. God used Jesus' death on the cross to demonstrate that his wrath had been satisfied. God used Jesus' death on the cross to show that atonement for sinners once and for all times had indeed been made. Jesus suffered intentionally for the sins of the people. Jesus suffered willingly for all human beings. Jesus' desire is that all human beings would repent of their sins, seek his forgiveness, and surrender their lives to him. What are some of the takeaways from verse 8? Firstly, verse 8 teaches us the real evil of sin. To put it another way, verse 8 teaches us the utter sinfulness of sin. If Jesus had to endure such humiliation and suffering, then sin is not to be thought of lightly, because it is something that is indeed utterly ugly and monstrous. Secondly, verse 8 should cause Christians to earnestly desire to hate our sins, for it was such sins why Jesus suffered horrendously on the cross. Furthermore, verse 8 should inspire Christians to pray for grace to live our lives in greater holiness. Thirdly, verse 8 portrays the scary reality of God's judgment. The death of Christ is the most vivid display of justice the world has ever seen. God poured out all his anger towards sinners on Christ, his own beloved Son, in whom there was no sin. Because God poured out his wrath on his sinless Son for your sakes and mine, then my non-Christian friend, you would be stupid if you think God is going to turn a blind eye concerning your sins. In other words, if God did not spare his own son, he's not going to spare you if you don't surrender your life to his son. God is not going to spare anyone who is outside of Christ. You either love Jesus or you hate Jesus. You are either in Christ or you are outside of Christ. Fourthly, verse 8 portrays the great love of Christ for sinners. Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus willingly took the humiliation of the cross. Jesus loves the people for whom he suffered and died. There was an ocean of love in every drop of blood that Jesus shed. We will continue the series on the fourth servant song next week. Until then, may Christ bless you greatly.